With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Ad News Pubcast, the podcast that celebrates the industry's penchant for a sociable drop and a chat.
Welcome to the Ad News Podcast, sponsored by The Trade Desk and produced for us by Nova Entertainment. Today, the podcast is hosted by me, Ad News journalist Lindsay Bennett. We're joined in the studios by Communication Council CEO Tony Hale, Ogilvy CEO David Fox, and Chief Strategy Officer Toby Harrison. So guys, I thought we could kick it off with a little bit of background about yourselves and how you found yourselves in advertising. Tony, do you want to start?
By mistake, actually, Lindsay. I was a bit of an experiment. I came into advertising after having a degree at Macquarie University and was hired as an experiment to see if advertising, if university graduates could work. And I went into JWT, Alan Robertson hired me, and 40-odd years later, I'm still there.
And now, yeah, now you're here with me.
And now I'm here with you, Lindsay.
What about you, Foxy?
I was at News Limited Suburban Newspapers selling feature advertising by the phone, which is a fantastic experience, a good lesson in rejection. And I saw a couple of newspaper articles, John Singleton, he had a really nice car, and I thought that would be a cool thing to do. So I got into advertising, and I ended up working for him for 7 years.
Seven years. Ogilvy for how long?
This year, 18 years.
Wow. Yes. Ad man veteran in the room. Toby, your bio says you're a former theologian. That's not exactly conventional. Can you explain?
I, like Tony, I got into the industry as a mistake, possibly, or a happy accident. I was training to be a vicar and I ended up in sports television. And then I moved down under. I was working for Fox Sports over here and literally just fell into a job with BMF. They took a punt on me. So I'm very, very thankful to Matthew Melhuish and Warren Brown, who saw something that, yeah, maybe they were willing to take a punt on. So, yeah. I don't really trust people who kind of get into this business by choice a lot of the time. So.
It's a fair call. I would support that. Foxy, we kind of spoke earlier this year and in an impassioned post on Ad News, you compared the industry to The Walking Dead. Do you want to kind of explain that analogy for anyone that hasn't kind of read that?
Sure. I mean, you don't really need to have seen the show The Walking Dead. The idea is pretty simple, that in the show, like any good zombie movie, the world is taken over by some sort of strange plague. It kills lots of people who then become the living dead. They are the majority, and the minority are the people who are actually still alive. And I got to this strange analogy, which was, if you look at The Walking Dead, the people who are alive, instead of facing off against the enemy, which are the impending zombies, they tend to fight amongst themselves and kill each other and do the work for the zombies. And I thought, well, I got a feeling if you look at our industry, I was getting more and more concerned about how our industry is eating itself alive, in my view, and how as the threat of media transparency is on our doorstep, as the threat of, you know, consultants continue to come in, as the threat of other competitors come into this market, as the threat of clients insourcing their business, et cetera, I just saw us being less than transparent in our media purchasing. I saw us destroying each other on magazines like Campaign Brief. I won't mention that news. I saw our industry having several different bodies and not one unified group. And I sort of wanted to say it, and you say it's an impassioned plea. I think it's time that we started having a debate, and that's why I think it's great that Tony's here. Having the debate around the fact that are we good enough as an industry to ward off the impending threat of what's heading towards us, and are we good enough to move forward as a unified group? And the world's changed, right? I don't have to keep talking about how the world's moved on. And by the way, it's not going to go back, right? So when I talk about advertising, I would walk into any media agency in Sydney right now, whether it's Universal, UM, or it's Mediacom, and they would tell me they're a full-service advertising agency, right? I would walk into a DT, soon to become an AKQA, a good tech business, and they have a creative director, and they have a creative department. So they're an advertiser. So the world, in terms of what we knew as advertising, has radically changed. We're now a bigger, broader community. We're very competitive. And I got a feeling that one area was, you know, not picking on Comms Council, but looking at the industry bodies. Could we be better? That's the debate. I'm not saying let's change everything radically. I'm saying that do those industry bodies reflect what I want my agency to be, which is a modern, fully integrated communications business? And so that's where the debate started. And I suppose the end question or the brief is, as an industry, can we be better?
Mm. And Tony, obviously, Foxy has referenced that, you know, he would like industry bodies to come together. You're the head of an industry body that he did mention in our piece. What would be kind of your response to his critique on the Comms Council and other industry bodies about how they need to come together?
Well, firstly, let me pick up on his analogy with the Walking Dead, because I think it's quite an interesting one. Look, I agree with a lot of what Foxy says. I think we're terribly self-destructive with our comment on the industry, and we're actually pretty good at the business of advertising in whatever definition that you have. I think we have some own goals with anonymous commentary, with the scam advertising, with transparency, on all of those things. So I've got absolutely no issue with what Foxy says about any of that. I think there's split views or different views when it comes to the threat of consultancies. And there's an opportunity to get into that a little bit more, because while I completely agree that consultancies are cutting our lunch in some particular areas, there's also another viewpoint that, to use a Sir Martin Sorrell terminology, I think that they could be frenemies as well. So we can explore that. With respect to industry organisations, we can always do better. There's no doubt about that, but I'd like to know a little bit more about what Foxy wants from an industry organisation and why he sees that there's too many industry organisations and where we might fit. We probably need to dig into that a little bit more.
That's a good point. Ogilvy is part of AANA, is that correct, or no bodies at the moment?
No. So we support the AANA just through a sponsorship of their Reset event. The only... And WPP is a member.
What could bodies do to get you on board? What could the Comms Council do?
It's good. So the point is that the Comms Council do good stuff, right? ADMAR does good stuff. IAB does good stuff. The Media Federation does good stuff. If I look at what we've tried to do as Ogilvy to future-proof ourselves in terms of being a modern communications business, we've taken all the P&Ls out of business. We've created what we would term a fully integrated model. So data, media, content, behaviour science, social, all the sort of the things that we know and love. And we've put them all together as a unified core. So we've reinvented the core of our business. So 10, 15 years ago, advertising was advertising and CRM. The world's moved on and it's changed. So what we try to do, and it's a constant work in progress, I'm not saying we're perfect, we've tried to reinvent our core to be a fully integrated machine. Right? So when an account leader or a strategic leader sits with a client, they know that behind them, they have the power of any piece of arsenal for any one of those practice areas to bring forward. So then I look at the industry areas, okay, and the Comms Council, who does great stuff, and Toby's a big fan of the Effies, as am I. We put that up as one of the best award areas in our business. The peak body of industry, of advertising, and then there's the IAB, which is the peak body of online, and there's the ADMAR, which is data-driven. Well, we do all that, right? We do all that in varying degrees with varying clients. It's fully integrated. So the simple question is, who do I join? If I have to join all of them, I can't afford it. Nothing against Comm Council's fees, of course. But, you know, I need to then look at what best reflects a modern communications business, understanding that media agencies are now full service, understanding that tech businesses are full service, right? Understanding that the PwCs are coming in and we welcome them, right? The competition's fine, absolutely fine. We're up for it. So I think what I'm looking for is an industry body that reflects the agency I'm trying to, or we are trying to morph into, which is a fully integrated, at speed. We're large, but we try and be nimble. We're managing that paradox. We're trying to find an industry body that reflects all of those things for us. And we find little bits in each of them, but nothing delivers holistically.
Mm.
So the question is, could we bring them together in some way, shape or form where we have one body which represents all parts of what we do, and they represent the industry of which we're all a part of. The AANA, I use those as an example. They, to me, stand out from the client side as a very organised group who have good events, they have good opinion, they have good thought pieces, and I think they've done a good job over the last 3 years, and that's why we support them, and our clients support them. I think 600 of those clients turn up at that reset event. So I think they do set an agenda for the client side. So I suppose Ogilvy in Australia is looking for a partner, and we want to be part of the industry. We do. We desperately do. But how do we build an industry body that reflects all the things we want to be going forward?
Mm.
And I can't speak for other agencies, but I can only speak through the lens of us. That's what we're looking for.
I think it's interesting, obviously, as creative and media agencies come more together. Apparently, I think you told me this, Foxy, we're one of the only countries that have our media agency body and our creative agency body separately. So it does kind of put us in an interesting position as those, agencies do become full service. Toby, you've obviously worked at a lot of kind of different places in the industry, BMF, Droga5. What's kind of your take on this? Is it the same as Foxy or?
I share a lot of the similar views. I have tremendous sympathy for both sides of the argument, but I think the analogy I was discussing with Foxy earlier was, I'm a big fan of boxing, but boxing was ruined years ago when there was a diversification of all of the different categories of it. You've got different titles held by different people in the same category, and there was no one advocating on behalf of that sport from a unified perspective. Now you think about that in the context of what's going on in our industry. You've got the UFC brought everything together. It's one single body who are championing and evolving a sport and moving it forwards in a modern age, and they've done it tremendously well. And boxing is dying now. So if you take that analogy and you play it out, what we're really looking for is one body that essentially advocates for all of us and advocates for each of us in all of the ways that we require. Mm. So like Foxy says, we don't just do advertising in the old fashioned way. We do advertising in a very modern way, which is, I think we're a communications company. And that means from social media to data, what data governance means to us retrospectively, what we have to do between thinking about how our campaigns go and live out in the world from a media perspective and communications planning, all the way down to what things look like in direct marketing and in store. So there's a whole raft of issues that need to be thought about rather than just through a singular lens.
Mm.
So I have a tremendous amount of sympathy for Foxy's argument, because like him, I want to know who the right person to talk to is able to have a conversation with me in the same way as I'm having a conversation with my clients, which is about the bigger picture.
Mm. And Tony, is this kind of a conversation you're having with, your pals over at AANA and ADMA? Are you guys kind of talking about coming more together, or, what kind of conversation are you having?
No, not really. Mm. I think you've got to understand who the membership base you reflect are. Mm. Now, the fact of the matter is that both AANA and ADMA are advertiser-led organisations that allow agencies to be members or associate members. But their prime responsibility for the AANA, in its most simplest level, is to defend self-regulation, and ADMA is all about data. Now, it evolved from direct marketing to data and analytics. But they're client-based organisations. ADMA has anybody with a customer base, so all the airlines, all the telcos, all the banks, all the insurance companies, everyone, and it puts them in a very strong position. There's a lot they can do. There's also a lot advertising agencies can learn from them. There's no dispute about that. The IAB that was referenced represent online publishers in the same way that Free TV represents free-to-air television, and the CRA represents commercial radio. So they're all representing their own constituencies. There is only one organisation that represents commercial creativity from an agency point of view, and that's the Comms Council. And we've got a lot of members. We've got most of the big members around the country, a lot of the independent members. We've got something like 180 to 200 offices around the country. Most of our members do a very wide array of work. It's not just about advertising in a traditional sense. It's advertising to it's commercial creativity to meet any brief in whatever way. And one of the great things about advertising these days is there's a broad array of palettes and technology solutions that you can apply. And at the awards tomorrow night, I'm sure that you'll see a few of them. So I think that you know, we are the only we're the only industry body designed to represent creative agencies. I will also say that I agree with them that there's a weakness in Australia. Once again, we shoot ourselves in the foot by separating out creative agencies and media agencies and having a separate MFA to the Comms Council. To me, it doesn't make sense. To me, you weaken both organisations. We don't have the clout of their media dollar. They don't have the clout of our creativity. That's not to say that they don't do creative. It's also not to say that our members don't plan and buy media, because they do. It is all merging. We're all doing the same. But the combined benefits of the creative agencies and the media agencies coming together that are inevitably owned by the same holding companies, to me, is a big weakness in the industry landscape here.
You think them coming together is a weakness, or them being apart?
Being apart is a weakness. Yeah, we can't leverage ourselves. Mm. You know, we're weakened in the face of a challenging, in a very challenged marketplace that's moving quickly.
Kind of goes into my next question about how the industry can better protect itself. Obviously, in your piece, Foxy, you said, you know, the zombies are coming, the consultancies are moving in, we've just seen them buy the Monkees, which was a massive kind of shock to the industry. How do you think, I think, Tony, you've kind of said media agencies and creative agencies coming back together could protect the industry, but how do you guys kind
of... Not so much protect the industry. I think it's about leveraging your power and how you do it. You know, I think you can capitalise it. You can be a stronger industry. You know, protecting the industry to me sounds as if you're in a defensive position, and I don't think the industry is in a defensive position or needs to be. We're in a defensive position on some issues, and transparency, scam ads and things like that that are raised are there because we've shot ourselves in the foot, as I said before. But as a broader industry, I reckon we've got every reason to be confident. We've got every reason to be somewhat aggressive in the way we move forward.
There's definitely challenges in the industry. I think trying to warrant and explain our value to clients who are increasingly under the hammer to try and define their margins better, you know, is a constant challenge.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I don't think it's a shock, though, that, you know, the Monkees has been acquired. I think it's just a sign of the times, you know, and anyone with a sensible mind probably would have been able to predict that that would have been the first of the big acquisitions in this marketplace. And I think it's good for the industry. It's healthy because it's positive change, and it's changing us to be a more modern and progressive thinking body. of independent agencies and holding companies. So I think it's just sensible. Tony's point, though, is, you know, there is a threat, but there's also a lot more interesting and exciting stuff going on that forces us to be better. It's how we respond to that force that's the most important question right now.
Mm. Competition's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no doubt. I mean, I haven't been on the front line for over 10 years, so Foxy would be able to talk in a lot more current status about what it is like competing with the consultancies, but I hear it anecdotally from my members all the time. But a lot of them take it as quite a good thing because we're in a very competitive industry. They like competition. They see it as an opportunity to improve their own standards. They see it as an opportunity to weed out the lesser performing people. And then you have the situation where Accenture come in and buy the monkeys on top of Kamarama and Reactive, and you can see that they're moving in that direction. I think that we've also got a lot to learn from consultancies. The one thing that consultancies don't suffer from is margin pressure, IP ownership, all of those things that we've struggled with in terms of margin pressure, obviously a lot more in the last 10 to 15 years, but IP ownership as long as we can go back. Now, they're very good in those things. They understand how to utilise it, and there might be opportunities to work with them either in partnerships or ownerships. It may well be down the track that Accenture become a member of the Comms Council. I personally don't have an issue with it. I think it'd be good.
Okay. So watch this space.
Might
have seen some consultancies.
Well, I think you just got an exclusive, on the.
I haven't spoken to them, but, you know, you have got other people like Russell Howcroft at PwC. And, you know, I think it's terrific for the industry having Russell out there, because the one thing he's going to be doing is drumming up support into marketing and advertising. That's what he'll be doing.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Hope he'll be back on Gruen too this year. So I guess agencies are kind of making moves as well to compete with consultancies. Foxy, I know you mentioned how you've stamped out your P&Ls at Ogilvy to make it a little bit more nimble and to stop the internal fights. Other agencies like DDB have kind of dropped $1 million recently on repositioning it, their brand and what they can offer clients and how they communicate that. Others like M&C are integrating media skills. Who are you kind of seeing in the industry making good moves to, you know, keep the zombies off, I guess?
Well, I think from creating the work point of view, I mean, you can't go past the agencies like the Monkeys in terms of great creative work and Clemenger Melbourne. I mean, you have to take your hat off, not that I'm wearing one, but the fact that those guys are doing good work, right? And at the end of the day, clients want good work that makes some sort of impact with their consumers or customers. So I think those agencies are doing a good job. I think M&C Saatchi is a strong organisation, has been for some time. But there's lots of smaller tech companies coming through. I mentioned DT, they're a growing business as well. So I would always look at, if I look at the work that's been created in the industry, I would always look at the Monkeys, I would look at Clem's Melbourne as agencies that are doing really good work. Yeah. And I mentioned in my piece that, you know, I look at work like Graham and go, I wish we did that, right? And that's a good sign as a CEO who walks in. I'm sure Toby's sick of hearing it. Look, and he says
make
it as well.
Make me a
right?
Graham.
And he says it as well. So, what, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we'd love to create, and hats off to them. You have to compliment them, because whilst we compete, you know, I do understand that good work helps our industry, right? It puts us up on a global pedestal, and I think that's good. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, I'm a personal believer that the separation of media and creative many, many years ago was a mistake, and I would say that from a creative side. At the end of the day, our job is to build brands for our clients, and you have to reach a consumer or customer, whatever you want to call them, right? A consumer or customer. And how you do that efficiently, effectively is the challenge. And everyone's surrounding the same problem. So it's sort of a race to the middle. Media agencies are full service, consultancies, Monkeys, they'll talk about full service. PR agencies, I tell you, they're full service, and the list goes on. Adobe, Salesforce, we're full service, we do all this kind of stuff. So there's this race to the centre around who's going to do the work, who's going to own those consumers and customers, and who can help clients deliver end-to-end. And I think one of the key challenges for clients, you know, and our clients, a lot of our clients are managing this world. Their budgets aren't going up. Right, media splintering, technologies at play, data's been owned by Facebook. There are lots of challenges. At the end of the day, with your FMCG, with the Coles and Woolworths coming at you, with the Aldi coming from the side, whether you're in cars with Tesla or an electronic, it doesn't matter what industry you're in as a client, they're also needing, not struggling, they're facing the headwinds that we're all facing and they need our help. The question is, how can we help them end to end and manage a consumer and a customer, and what right does that brand to have to be part of a conversation? And that's the job that Toby, myself and we try and do. And I think, you know, the creativity that comes for that really should set us all apart from the others. At the end of the day, it's the work.
Mm.
It's the greatest ad for Ogilvy is the work we put into the market.
Mm. Tony, what are you kind of seeing agencies do to, I don't want to say remain competitive in the industry? What shifts are you seeing them make?
Well, in terms of shifts, I think Foxy's right. It's interesting from a comms council point of view because we've got more engagement from what we would traditionally see data and analytics led terms. As they're starting to expand their offering into creativity, they're interested in some of the foundation principles, and certainly from an education point of view and engagement point of view, we're seeing more and more from those companies participating in Ad School, IPA, Award School, all of those sort of things that we do. But I think there are two related areas that creative agencies are very well placed to hold up as a beacon and probably the vanguard of this interest in pursuit of the consumer mind. And the first thing is creativity. I don't think anybody can do creative like agencies can do it. It's part of their DNA. It's in the culture. That's all about the pathways into that. And I think that we will continue to do it better than anybody else. But also, as almost a to bookend the creativity, is the strategic thinking that leads to that creativity and the evaluation of the effectiveness from it. That's why we promote the Effies. That's why we're building more and more activity around the Effies, not just to hand out a bunch of awards, but examine in a very complex landscape what is the best effectiveness, how do we measure effectiveness, how do we look to return as much return on investment for the marketing dollar. We brought Peter Field out from the UK last year, and I think that he challenged a lot of people with his long-term thinking at the expense about how we're preoccupied with short-term, almost promotional marketing at the expense of long-term brand building. We'll be doing that again, and I think that sort of owning that sort of combination of strategy, effectiveness and creative is right at the heart of what agencies can do and should concentrate on as part of that pathway and part of the owning the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
When you say agencies, do you include media agencies?
Yeah, I do. Right. Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. I think that there's a slightly separate but adjacent part to this conversation as well, which is my great fear for agencies, and I mean that in every sense of the word, is that in the olden days, there were many brands that were made by marketing, and marketing was a core component of their growth strategy. But these days, there are brands that are just built for purpose. And in the digital era, you know, or post-digital era that we're living in now, customer experience is the most important component of this. Being able to facilitate the needs of consumers brilliantly and deliver a wonderful experience for them is what the bread and butter of the industry is all about now. And we're seeing new types of agencies or organizations or companies that are built entirely from the ground up on being built for purpose or delivering an amazing customer experience. And us thinking that brilliant creativity around communications alone is going to save us, I think is a very old-fashioned and outdated thought. Mm. So I admire and I embrace, you know, the thinking of institutions like MC Saatchi to create a brand like Ugly that specializes in that area. But it's something that we do, you know, and we're working on because it's what our clients require of us. You know, our primary role as an agency is to deliver value to our clients. That's either creating revenue for them or helping them save money in other places and then helping unlock new revenue streams for them or streamlining them or building love for the long term for their brands. And we have to think of all of those things, not just one or two of them.
Mm.
Well, and what you've also got, though, Toby, I think you'll probably agree, is a lot of these new built-for-purpose, built-for-customer-experience brands are resorting to traditional marketing techniques to build long-term relationships with them. And you can talk about Eubank, you can talk about BPay, you can talk about Gumtree, REA Group. A lot of them are using traditional marketing to build a brand. It's not as if they're just doing it in a digital business-to-customer environment.
But for many of them, the marketing's baked into their product. They just have a great product, a brilliant experience, and many of them don't even need to market in the traditional ways as well. So I do agree with you. You know, there's a lot of very interesting evidence, especially in places like the UK and the United States, that indicates that traditional, what we would call above-the-line advertising, is very, very powerful in supporting long-term growth for brands, especially when it's done from an emotional perspective. And that is what the bread and butter of our industry should be about, you know, thinking about long-term growth and custodianship of brands and guardianship of them through what are turbulent times. But there's a lot of other stuff going on too. And I think this is the issue that we're facing more than everything else, is we used to do a small body of tasks incredibly well. Now we have to do a tremendous body of tasks at the same level in half the time for less money.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, Ogilvy is in its 50th year this year. And you've been there for, you know, 17...
Since the start.
Since the start. And it's had to undergo a huge transformation. I know we've spoken about moving from an agency that just creates TV ads to doing all those, you know, things you've just referenced, CX. And how do you think you're going at Ogilvy as an agency on achieving that goal of hitting all the touch points and being a modern agency for a modern brand?
Well, it's always a work in progress. You know, I'll never say we're done. Anyone who says they are probably slightly misleading themselves. I think it's a constant work in progress, and it varies by client. I mean, we're deep inside a lot of our clients' problems, and others we're skipping amongst the surface. That's just our ability to deliver ongoing work and deliver results. And as Tony said, you know, effectiveness is the what we aspire to achieve, to prove that we can deliver work into the environment, into the market that works. So we're making good progress. We're in there throwing big punches. We're doing our best. I think we made great progress. You know, as a company, we grew last year for the first time in many years at speed. So that was great. So that proves to me, and I think, as we talked about earlier, the most rewarding piece for me, and I think for the group of the team that I lead, is that a lot of that growth come from existing clients who entrusted more work with us because they felt that was the right place to put their work, whether it's digital, you know, basic banner advertising up to high complex web designs, whatever it might be, or total business and digital transformations. When our existing clients give us more work, that to me signals that something's going right, and I think that's the greatest reward. Because that's long-term relationships proving to be fruitful and growth for both parties, which I think is a good business deal.
For sure. All right, guys. Well, just to finish on, I'd love to get you all to share one piece of advice for the industry. Who wants to start? Tony?
One piece
no
of advice.
No one's putting their hands up.
Well, I've had many, many people come to me over the years to say, how do I break into the industry? And I always say the same thing. I said, it's not very hard. If you want to break into the industry, you can break into the industry and you will break into the industry, but you've got to be passionate, you've got to follow your dreams, and you've got to never let go of what you want to do.
Nice sentiment there. Foxy, can you match it?
I suppose my point is that we need to compete as an industry, but we also need to come together better. I think we need to a much stronger, more unified. I think Toby's example is a good one around the boxing versus the UFC. We need to have one belt that we all work towards as an industry. Doesn't matter, you know, bring the Accentures in, that's fine. Yeah, welcome competition, but we need to get better at a unification model whereby we're all working towards the same stream going forward. And I think then we build a strong industry because there's more headwinds coming. It's not going to get any easier. It's going to get harder, and that's fine. And the ones who adapt the fastest will survive, and many will go by the wayside. That's life, and that's probably good for industry that happens. And there's a saying, may you live in interesting times. Well, tick, we're living in interesting times.
And Toby?
I don't have a piece of advice because I'm not one to give advice. So I don't think I've made the best choices in my life all the time. My wife will attest to that. But there is something that I'm very passionate about, which is I think it's very unfair of us to ask our clients to be brave and to ask them to embrace creativity when we are not being brave and embracing the creativity that comes from diversity. I'm pretty sick to my stomach of consistently being at environments like this where I look around and it's three white, middle-aged and slightly older gentlemen. And I don't see the diversity that is the critical currency of our very industry. So if there is some advice in that, it's we can't expect the outputs to change if the inputs don't. We need different people, different thinking, different skill sets, different mindsets coming into the organisations, into the bodies, into the agencies, if we want to see any kind of change, because it's not going to come from us.
Yeah.
I'm an analog dinosaur by most people's standards, and I like to think I'm pretty hip and cool. So,
yeah, it's a great point to finish on. All right, well, thank you so much for joining us, guys. You've been listening to the Ad News podcast, sponsored by The Trade Desk and produced for us by Nova Entertainment.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.